David Takagi just left this up where I sit. This is a wonderful picture. I'm going to leave it here on the table if anyone wants to come look at it later. This is Palm Sunday. So you may recall that in addition to walking around the courtyard waving palms, we also walked around the courtyard waving some of our favorite protest posters. I reserved the right to arm bears, I think was one of them. Because we know that Palm Sunday was indeed an act of protest at the same time as it was a moment of celebration. And so I leave this here for you all, because this, just like our announcements, is part of the life of our church. We have been looking at, for the past number of weeks, all these marvelous post-resurrection stories. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at it from the Gospel of John, and in fact, at Terry's ordination today, we'll also be reading another story from the Gospel of John. And if you recall, the Gospel of John, we looked at, there was Mary in the garden with Jesus. Jesus calls her by name. Then there's the experience of Peter and the boys not quite understanding what's going on. And last week, we looked at Thomas, who got to touch those hands. And this week, as Val outlined for us, as we look at the stories that come from Luke, there's a little bit of a twist. So just before the scripture that she read, we do have Mary in the garden at the tomb. But she's not alone. She's with other women at this time. There isn't the recording in Luke of Jesus talking to her and calling her by name. That's something that John shares with us. There is a story of Peter running back, seeing things, and he's amazed, but doesn't quite know what to do with it. And then there's this wonderful story that Val was sharing just before about the disciples that are on their way to Emmaus, and they're walking with this stranger who turns out to be Jesus. Then they recognize it when he breaks bread in front of them. And so they go skedaddling out of where they are, go running back to the locked room where the disciples are still cowering somewhat. And they come in and they tell them what they've seen. And then our scripture begins, because there's Jesus again. He's had a very busy Sunday. He's been a lot of places. And he's now here in this upper room with them, and they can see him. And what do we read? In most translations, it says they see him and they are terrified and afraid. And I looked at that and I said, terrified? Why are you not like skipping for joy? Why are you terrified and afraid? And so I went and I looked at the Greek words, as a good scholar would do, Val, right? And the Greek words for terrified and afraid are phobio and enphobos. Same root right there in the middle. And in fact, what is translated as terrified is sometimes translated as terrified, but it really has the connotation of being startled, caught by surprise, as if your reality has just shifted. Okay. And the enphobos, the afraid, yes, it's translated as fear. But it is fear with a sense of awe, the sense of respectful, oh my goodness, what is going on in front of me? And so when you think about that, when you think about being startled as if your reality has just changed, and that you are afraid but with awe and startled by this wonder and this relevance of something that is new, it makes sense that they are phobio and enphobos, terrified and afraid. Because he was dead. He was dead, 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 gone. And now he's not. It was hate. It was death. It was darkness that put him on that cross. And apparently the Roman Empire, the collaborators with the Roman Empire, don't have enough power to keep him dead on that cross. Apparently, there is something new. This is a startling new change in reality for them. And so, yes, it makes sense that, in fact, in that startledness, in that surprise, they're going to be terrified and afraid. But not with that sense of fear that we may think of. But instead, it's like, my world just shifted. What is going on? Now, I personally would love to have an experience where I'm in the upper room and Jesus comes by and says, peace be with you, and he's standing right there. we have to instead depend upon places where we see the presence of Jesus being lived out in the lives of other people. And I begin, and I spend a lot of my time looking for those moments. And recently I've been hearing the story of this amazing person by the name of Twinkle Borges. Anyone of you heard of Twinkle Borges? Okay, Twinkle Borges is the leader of a homeless community out in Waianae, Pu'uhonua o Waianae. And she has been in the news a bit lately, as has this homeless encampment out there in Waianae, because the state is trying to figure out what to do. There's about 200 people that she's the leader of in this community, and the state is trying to figure out what to do because it's not perfect by any means. There is no running water on the acreage which they are living on. So therefore, they are having to depend upon the water that exists at the Waianae boat harbor that they're right next to. And they're having to take that water at only certain times of the day, and so sanitation is an issue. And there are concerns about folks that are washing themselves and maybe washing their clothes in the river and in the harbor as it goes out. So there are sanitation issues. There are drug issues. They admit that about 75% of the residents of the 200 folks or more that are there either are presently active crystal meth users or have been active crystal meth users. So there are some significant drug issues. And there are some issues just about the living conditions. The folks like Twinkle are very clear to say that they are houseless, not homeless. That they have a home, and this is their home. This community is their home, but they don't have houses. What they have are blue tarps draped over pipes and tents that they can find. They have wood pallets for floors, carpets that have been thrown out that have been scraped together to make a soft landing for their feet. And so there are concerns that the state has about shelter. Is this adequate shelter? And there are valid concerns. And so people are trying to figure out, and one of the reasons that they don't know quite what to do, though, is because this community is in fact that. It is a community that is living together, working together, functioning together in ways way better than most communities that we can think of. On any given night, Twinkle, what a great name. On any given night, Twinkle may have a dozen or more people sharing a meal with her. Many of the folks live in where they live within this encampment. There are a few that live by themselves, but most are part of an extended ohana, is in traditional Hawaiian ways. And so Twinkle has an extended ohana that lives with her that will vary from 8 to a dozen or more, and on any given night, anyone is welcome at her table. The food is simple, stew and rice kind food, very simple food, but you are welcome there. And most folks, if they are new to the community, that's where they have their first meal. That's where they have their first meal, at Twinkle's table, where she gets to know them and welcomes them to this place. And you think about it, if you are a person who has been kicked to the gutter, if you are a person who has been abandoned, has been forgotten, has been vilified, and you come to this place and this woman says, come, I have food for you. Come sit down at my table and eat. You are welcome here. Imagine what that does to who you are. And I think it's really interesting that Jesus, when he gathers together in that upper room with the disciples, and they're terrified and afraid, startled and trying to figure out this new reality and trying to see what to do, after a while he says, you know what? Can we eat? Let's just go eat. And so they find some baked fish and they give him some food, because sitting down at a table, a meal, gives us a chance to take a pause that we need to do, gives us a chance to assess one another, gives us a chance to begin to come into our new reality. And so Twinkle will offer to anyone, new or anyone who needs, a place to eat at her table. It wasn't always that way for her that she was able to be such a welcoming presence. As you read about her story, 10 years ago, she was addicted to cocaine. 10 years ago, she had been in a disastrous relationship, and 10 years ago, she had lost 2 children before they were born. And she felt like life had no meaning and there was no hope. And her sister offered to Twinkle the opportunity to help raise her sister's child, her nephew. And Twinkle understood this as the second chance that she was being given. And she took that second chance, and though houseless, she began to raise that child, and in the process began to welcome others to create community with her. It's a community of about 200 or more people that are living together. They live together with some fairly simple rules. Kind of, no act stupid is basically the rule. And the no act stupid means, respect one another, don't steal from each other, be aware that there's a group of folks here, so be quiet after 10 o'clock, don't make a whole lot of noise in the morning. They have a preschool that they've created. They have a childcare area that they've created. They have community meetings that everyone is required to go to. And if you break the rules, there are consequences to being a part of this community. And I look at this and I read about this, and I haven't been out there. There was an opportunity about a month or so ago where, because the state is trying to figure out what to do, and part of what they're thinking of doing is a large sweep to come in and take away everything that is there to try and find a different alternative for these people to live. And so Twinkle and the community, Pu'uhonua O'Wayanai, made a decision to open up their community so that folks could come by, and about 500 people came by in their open house. And they saw a chance. They saw how they are living together. And I wonder, and it gives me pause to think, that how is it that in this community of folks who have very, very little, they are able to create a sense of community when all around them there are people that have much greater affluence, much greater opportunity, and have virtually no sense of community? How is it that these people who have been forgotten, who have been lost, who have been cast aside, are able to open their arms in ways to welcome folks when all around them, those who have the ability to welcome in a much easier way, fold their arms, tisk their lips, turn their backs, and look away? And I'm thinking that maybe part of it may well be that whether they read the scripture that we read today, or whether it's just ingrained in them from what's been taught from generation to generation, they are catching a hold of what Jesus says to the disciples that night, that first Easter night in the upper room. Because that first Easter night, after they sat down and they ate some fish and they sat around and they talked story a little bit, he says a couple of things. He says, hamartia aphesis, and he says, metanoia. Three Greek words, hamartia aphesis. We were just talking about hamartia with the young people. It is the word for sin in the Bible, the Greek word for sin, and it literally comes from archery, and it literally means missing the mark. So we who are created to be people of justice, we who are created to be people of love, we who are created to be people of peace, if we are not loving, if we are not just, if we are not peaceful, we are missing the mark. We are missing the mark, and what to do when we miss the mark? As the kids say, you adjust and you re-aim and you try again. Hamartia aphesis, the aphesis is typically translated as forgiveness. But it means so much more than forgiveness, because aphesis also means that you are released from your prison, from your bondage. And think about that. Think about the wrongs that you have done in your life, the places where you have missed the mark, where you know you were to be loving and you were not. And think about the bondage that creates in your life. If you are a person of goodwill and good intent, you are going to feel as if you have failed miserably, and it is going to encapsulate you in a sense of bondage. And aphesis says you are freed from that. You are freed from that. So if you miss the mark, you are freed from the bondage that is created from that, and you are given the opportunity through metanoia, which is usually translated as repentance, but as some biblical scholars will say, it's the worst translation that exists in the Bible. Because when you think about repentance, you think about remorse and being sorry about this or whatever. And metanoia is so much more than being sorrowful for the wrongs that I have done. Metanoia is what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. It is that interior transformation from the na'au, as the Hawaiians would say, that interior transformation that changes who we are from within when we allow the risen Christ to come in. And it changes who we are from within so that we may indeed be changed in the way that we act and say and be in this world. So what Jesus says to the disciples that night after they've had their food is, he said, if you have been locked in bondage, imprisoned by the things in which you, by the ways in which you have missed the mark, the decisions that you have made, the choices you have made, you can be released from that bondage to live life anew. And you do so by allowing that risen Christ, the presence of all that is good and all that is love, to come into who you are and fill you in such a way that your actions will emanate directly from that. And thus it is, though far from perfect, I know, there on about 8 windswept acres on the shoreline in Waianae, next to the harbor, there are a group of folks who are creating community, even though around them no community exists, who are reaching out and welcoming folks and saying, you have a place to be when so much of the world has turned on them. Before Jesus ends that night, he looks at the disciples and he says 2 more things. You are witnesses to this truth. You have seen it. You see me right here. Love triumphs over hate. Light takes away those shadows. Death is not the final word. There is a way that is different than the way in which you have lived. If you are feeling startled, that's good. Because startled means that you are seeing something in a different way than you were seeing before. Be startled. Be startled. Let it be. Let it transform you. And go out and proclaim it. You are witnesses to this. Go and proclaim it. And so when I read the story of Twinkle Borges in Pu'uhonua o Waianae, so similar to the places of sanctuary that the Hawaiian people had long before pre-Western contact, where if you broke the kapu, if you were on the wrong side of battle, if you could get to that pu'uhonua, you could be secure, you could start over. So when I hear a pu'uhonua that is existing now out in Waianae, made up of folks living under blue tarps, of folks that have been lost and rejected and pushed aside by so many folks, and instead are there creating community, I am startled. I am startled. It's not what I expect. And because I have been startled, I ought to step back and look. And if I step back and look, I am hearing a message. The very same message that Jesus is talking about that night. All are welcome to this table. Come in. Come in and sit down. All are welcome. All are welcome. All. There is none of us that have done anything that shall keep you outside of the community. All are welcome, but open yourself up in order to be a part of that community. Allow metanoia. Allow yourself to be transformed. I hear that from Waianae. I hear that when I read the stories of what we now call the Me Too movement. And I hear women that are saying, no more. No more. No more will there be assault that is accepted. No more will there be abuse that is accepted. No more will there be harassment that is accepted. No more. We are offering to you, those voices are saying, it is not just that we are looking for the perpetrators and to make the perpetrators pay a price. We are looking to those of you that are part of this community, part of this culture, to metanoia, to change your ways, to change the very culture in which we live, to be invited to be who God has called us to be. To be a people that welcomes all, to be a people that does not allow for abuse, does not allow for assault, does not allow for harassment, because that is not who we are. Those are the voices that are calling to us. I think about, as I read the stories of those struggles that are going on, particularly on the mainland with the Black Lives Matter movement, and I know that those are voices that are calling to us. calling to us in startling ways to rethink our world, to rethink the fact that we are that a culture that has failed to see continuing inequalities, that the often unspoken racism of privilege that exists out there that controls our world, that laws that are supposed to say that injustice shall no longer be are not being justly applied. That those matters, that those voices are saying no more. No more will we be quiet. No more will we be silent. No more will we allow this to be. And we invite you. We invite you to metanoia, to turn from where you have missed the mark as a culture, to re-examine your culture, to look at where you are, to look at what you're doing, and we invite you to metanoia, to change from inside so that your actions may express who you were called to be. We who sit here in these chairs, we are the inheritors of that first Easter evening. A promise that Jesus says to us that we need not be imprisoned by our past. We need not be in bondage to the places where we have missed our mark. That a new and wonderful way awaits us, and that we may allow the presence of the risen one to transform us from within so that our actions may in fact be transformed as well. If we are not the ones that are proclaiming that truth, if we are not the ones that are proclaiming the truth, for it is alive and being proclaimed all around us, then it's time that we do what Jesus did with his disciples. It's time that we sit down, have a little bit of fish, talk to one another, reassess, and get on board. That's what he said to them. Take a moment, take some time, get used to this new reality, and get on board. For we who have ears to hear must be listening. We who have eyes to see must be able to see. And we who have voices to proclaim, we best be proclaiming. Amen.